Oh, Billy. Chad Wallach. Ah! We're back, Dan.
That was a big one.
It was huge.
You're six seed now, right?
I don't care about seeds. I know that we have three
Listen,
games.
You care
left.
About getting in. Are you a six seed or not?
We just can need get a in ticket to the dance.
We can get in tonight with a victory and a Phillies loss.
Nice. Oh, magic numbers too, huh?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the enthusiasm of one Christopher Cody, because today is the rare day, and we do not get this chance very often to say out loud to the country, Chris Cody is a winner. He is a winner today. His teams win. His teams go into Jacksonville, into the Lions' den in Jacksonville, and they win. His Marlins. His Marlins, after losing three games to the Braves by a combined 7,000 runs, his Marlins come back and are now one game over 500. They are one game over 500. Billy, how excited were you when the Marlins won yesterday?
The 500 police are back.
500 police.
Guess what they have right now? A ticket to the dance. Do you?
Well, no. We have a ticket. We have like a ticket for a train that could take us to the dance, but we're not sure it's going to actually take us to the dance.
They
it's
got
weird.
A ticket right now.
Where are the Marlins at? Like, what needs to happen?
The magic number is two.
What does Andy Slater say it is? I mean,
that's a good question.
Right, exactly.
They could just win two out of three against the Yankees and need no help, or they could win tonight and have the Phillies lose tonight. They could technically, I think, win one game and have the Phillies get swept or lose. I don't know. Whatever. I just know that we need a TCB, Stugatz. That's what we need.
All right.
Taking care of business, ladies and gentlemen.
Like the Dolphins did last night.
He's so much of a winner that he doesn't have time to even say taking care of business. He just gives you the acronym.
How did we arrive at this place where we have a team that is one win away from an NBA Finals appearance? We have a baseball team that's going to make the postseason. The Dolphins firmly entrenched the mix in the AFC East. And the Canes, a top 15 team. It's all happening right here, Dan.
A global pandemic, an apocalyptic crisis of our lifetime had to happen. We will take it. That's true. We're happy to have it. But when you ask how is the world upside down? Well, this is how the world is upside down in many, many places. And also, South Florida gets to feel like a winner today. Help me out with this, guys, because I am so sick of Thursday night football, and I am so sick of Thursday night football that feels like last night's game did.
What, domination?
Amazing.
Yeah. You could just not watch, and then it won't bother you.
Well, you know what's funny about how I watched? I'll tell you how I watched, because I didn't watch live. What happened was I simply taped the game, stayed out of all my devices, and then I watched the game on fast forward today at 5:30 in the morning. I watched the game as fast as I possibly could, and I was bored by that. Like, once you go to a cell phone, you don't go back to a landline. Once you go red zone, you don't go back to one game, and if that one game involves Thursday night football and the Dolphins and Jags, that is a hard pill to swallow.
Why can't you get past this Thursday night thing? Because all three Thursday nighters have been good games. They've been high-scoring affairs. The Dolphins scored 31. Joe Burrow threw 60 times the previous week. He had the Super Bowl champs Chiefs play against the Houston Texans. They've been all exciting matchups. These haven't been crappy games to watch.
Can't you also just watch like a 20-minute condensed version on NFL.com or something so you don't have to watch it in fast forward?
I have a Colin Cowherd-style analogy for you, Dan. When you have sex, you don't always do it the same way, okay? When I watch football on Sundays, I get my red zone in. I get it like nonstop. And on Thursday night, I relax. I slow it down a little bit. I open a bottle of wine, turn on a candle, and then I watch one game.
Nice.
It's nice. I like to change it up a little bit. Slow you don't need it to down. Do it the same way every time, Dan. Change it up. Mix it up.
Yep.
So it's not a Thursday night problem. It's just a one game problem.
It's multiple problems. First of all, I also love and do imagine that you turn on your candles. I don't believe you have actual authentic candles in your house. I think you've got fake candles in which you just, you light something. But this is my issue, because you say, and help me with this, because I was legitimate legitimately watching the game in fast forward and was bored by what I was watching in fast forward. So you guys tell me when you say it's a high scoring game, because the under came in and Ryan Fitzpatrick threw six passes in the second half. And what I felt like I was watching is the deep pass was such a rarity that the one time there was a blown coverage and Gardner Minshew had a chance to make it a game, he blew it by 10 yards, overthrowing a guy that would have had an easy touchdown because everyone in that game was so unfamiliar with throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, the Jags weren't very good last night. I'll certainly give you that. And Ryan Fitzpatrick only threw the ball six times in the second half because the offense executed as well as we've seen a Dolphins offense execute in a half in God knows how long. Like, we should start having a conversation. We should have a conversation about Chan Gailey. Hey, where'd that come from? I think Ryan Fitzpatrick completed his first 12 passes.
He was 18 of 20, Mike.
Yeah, he was the Gesicki pass. Like, he looked really good that first half, and that's the occasional Fitz magic. He'll do that.
Okay, look, I don't want to poo-poo the Dolphins.
Well, you're doing it.
The Dolphins saving their season, because if you're 0-2...
Wow,
and you're
must win. Dan just said it. Yesterday was a must win, and they won. You know, they did TCB.
Exactly.
You're playing a Jacksonville team that is the worst team in the league, tanking on purpose, and you had to go and save your season. But when you say that's a high-scoring game, what do you do with the following, okay? Because Chris Whittingham put this out. The Dolphins have had four games where they scored 40 points or more in the last 20 years. The Chiefs had five of those in 2018. The Patriots in those 20 years have had 46 of those. They are last in the last 20 years in producing the 40-point game, the high-scoring game that doesn't feel the way that one felt last night, where it was a lot of dink and dunk. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick was not asked. And you're right. It's the best start of his career. He's beaten the Jags for six different teams now. Six different teams.
What a stat.
He has beaten the Jags six, Stugatz, and he's played for eight. But it was dink and dunk. It was dink and dunk. It was efficient. It worked. And it was good way to beat Jacksonville. Kept the ball. Minshew turned it over. They didn't turn it over. Yeah. They were efficient on offense. But it wasn't very exciting for me to watch.
Oh, he took a shot in the first half, I thought. And then you're right. There was dink and dunk after that. And they were just sitting on a lead. If you're watching in fast forward, I imagine, now that I have the context applied to it, a large chunk of that game seems boring because it felt like the game was in hand by halftime.
If I wake up at 5:30 in the morning to watch a game any day, I'm going to think it's a boring game. I feel like your judgment was clouded by how early it was and how groggy you probably were. Dan, I get your point. Like, I get Whittingham's point, but we don't need it. We know the Dolphins have been bad for years. That Whittingham stat just kind of like proves what we all already knew. Not today. It's like we got two on the bench looking
not
excited.
Today.
Ryan Fitzpatrick leads the league in beard and leadership, two useless things to lead
chest
the league.
Chest hair also.
I mean, we're also cherry-picking Whittingham tweets because midway through the second quarter, he said, this is the greatest Dolphins offense I've ever seen.
I don't want to hear from Whittingham. I mean, exactly. Seriously, I don't care what Whitty has to say about anything, to be honest with you, including soccer. I mean, you want bad football, Dan, you get Jets-Broncos next week on Thursday night. Last night was fine. I mean, Jets-Broncos next week, a pair of 0-2s.
Well, but just so you guys understand, like, because it is fairly flabbergasting, and I'll leave it alone after this, but the fact that the Dolphins have had four 40-point games in the last 20 years, the Jets have had 12, and we know the Jets are putrid. The Jets have had three times as many. Like, I have to explain to you, because what ends up happening in this sport is people get fooled, and they're like, hey, Minshew's exciting, and you're not going to win anything that way. He's going to throw interceptions, and he's value, and a guy's going to come in at quarterback, and he's going to look competent, but he's not going to be somebody who's going to consistently beat everyone. I need you to have in context how bad the Dolphins have been for 20 years.
Yeah,
why can't we just enjoy yesterday? What were we supposed to watch yesterday, Dan? The Meryl Streep show with the wives and who murdered who, and then there's the thing and the testimony and that, Black Mirror. What were we supposed to be watching yesterday? What were we supposed to be doing to enjoy ourselves?
There was an NBA playoff game against the team the Heat might face.
Who cares about that?
Well, I can't argue with New Orleans Braves.
Probably.
Yeah, we can imagine that.
Yep. Yeah.
Major playoff implications. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we can root for more than one team in Miami than just the Heat, Dan. Right? Like, we can be happy for the Dolphins and the Marlins. It's not just Pat Riley's Heat and Pat Riley's cars and Pat Riley's Armani. This, we can root for the Marlins and the Dolphins also.
Wow, you really became a villain here. After the Dolphins.
I saw a great movie last night, Devil All the Time. It's exceptional on Netflix.
I haven't heard
really
of it.
Really starring Art Briles?
It's really well done. It's a really like well done movie.
Well, who stars in that movie?
I didn't know. There weren't named people in the movie. It was just, I was surprised at how well it was done. Yes, everyone does have a name. Thank you, Billy. But they weren't famous people. I think everyone here might enjoy that movie except for Stugat.
I saw The Mask last night, which was introducing Cameron Diaz. The Mask, bit rapey.
Why wouldn't I like it, just out of curiosity?
I had not enough explosions.
Okay. How are you going to explain that one to your daughter, Mike?
She's not allowed to watch The Mask. Not allowed to watch The Mask at all. What do you guys, does it actually feel like 20 years? Because I looked it up. That's the last Dolphins playoff victory, the Lamar Smith game, where he set a playoff record for carries at the time against the Colts. That was December 30th, I think, 2000.
That was a wild card game?
Yeah, there
that
was a wild
Colts
card game.
Was 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago. That game.
There were people who were not born that now have children, right? That haven't experienced a Dolphins playoff victory. Now, I know for the Browns, it has felt like that because I haven't been to the playoffs since the 2001 season. Not being in the playoffs is a different thing. You've had the occasional playoff appearance that was blacked out locally. But has it felt like 20 years for you guys, Chris?
Yes. It feels like I can't remember the Dolphins being good. That's why just let me enjoy Tua being here. That's why I don't even want Tua to play. Like, I'm feeling good about this team for the first time in my life. Don't play him. Like, last night when they were up 20 points late in that game, I was like, oh, my God, they might put him in. Don't do it. I've gotten to the point where I just want to keep Tua away and not playing just so I can have this feel good.
For the whole year?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking right now. I just know that if he enters the game and then he's bad, then it's like, oh, we're back.
Right.
Like, I at least have this right now. Don't take this away from me.
He's like a present under the tree. He's wrapped and you see it and you're like, what if? Oh, I don't know. That could be a good present. It's wrapped. It's under the tree. Present. I can't wait, but it's not Christmas yet. I don't want to open it just yet.
Right. But I have a feeling in 10 days you want to open it because you play the Seahawks. And like, that's going to be different. It's not the Jaguars. It's the Seahawks. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's probably going to be bad in that game.
Don't open it against the Seahawks. That's the wrong day to open that present. No.
I think I might be able to trap Billy in a corner here. I hope I can. Billy, did you actually watch the Dolphins game?
Yeah, I had it on. I had it on the iPad, and I had the Marlins on the big TV. Lots of rain. They were going to get that game in regardless.
All right. Ready for segment two, FSU week?
Are you trying to dictate what we talk about?
You guys talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
It is FSU, but FSU stinks, and they don't have a head coach.
I mean, we have a good Miami Hurricanes team, and we're not talking FSU.
We don't know if they're good.
But you don't have to. It's all right. There's a lot of exciting things. I mean, the Miami Heat are a game away from an NBA Finals appearance. So. Okay.
Thank you. Are the Canes good, though? I feel like the Canes are just in, like,
a
very barren vending machine right now, and they're, like, the best thing that we can click, but they're not necessarily a great thing to eat.
Oh, that is a great question right there. What is in the midpoint of a barren vending machine? Like, what is right at the middle? I want to know what's right at the middle. Where
those
you...
orange crackers.
Oh, they're always there with the peanut butter. Yeah,
I think those are pretty good.
They're always the one
they're
that's available.
They're always there, yeah. Lance's.
There is no one. We turned to our vending machine expert because no one had part of his balanced diet be an entire vending machine, quite like Roy Bellamy. Roy, what is the thing that is always left over in the vending machine?
Those old barbecue chips from Tom's. You remember the Tom's?
Yes. Chips? Yeah, what about, isn't there like some sad brand of chocolate chip cookie that no one wants? Like, it's not Chips Ahoy.
The one that you chip your tooth on. I think that's a brand name.
How about just pretzels? How about just
there was some rolled golds.
No, but if they're like, yeah, no
flavors. Pretzels are such a basic thing. I feel like they go out of stock quickly, no?
Lifesavers. Lifesavers.
Oh, they're always there. Yeah.
The lifesavers.
The chewing gum. Wait a minute. That is a really barren vending machine if you've gotten to lifesavers, and not just those, the mint ones. Like so wait a minute. Are we going to the last thing in a vending machine? Because I was just asking the question of sort of like, what's right in the middle? You're hungry. You arrive at a vending machine. The vending machine is disappointing in general. It is barren. But what is the high end of what you simply will turn around and walk right out of the room, because the best thing in the vending machine is blank? Because you guys went low with all the stuff. You guys went the last thing in the machine. But what's the best of those final things? Because I'd get the peanut butter crackers. If the peanut butter crackers...
If you were that hungry, that's the only option.
You're hungry. You've arrived at a vending machine, and the peanut butter crackers are in there. We're all getting the peanut butter crackers, are we not?
It depends on the vending machine. At the old Waxy Studios, I wasn't touching those peanut butter crackers. That shit was in there since the Bush administration.
Right, but a new vending machine, I feel like that might be one of the first things you get. Those things are delicious if they're fresh. So I don't know if that's like middle of the road type stuff in a vending machine.
Maybe some like classic original Lay's. Right, like the low end of the Lay's.
Stan Van Gundy thinks those are like the best chips, doesn't he? Stan Van Gundy is a remarkably plain eater for a fat man. Like he doesn't like much of anything that isn't plain. Roy, the best things in a vending machine, according to you, are, is it Cool Ranch Doritos? Like, what is the top? Wait, let's do this as well. If you had to do a medal stand of vending machine items, what is it that you're going with? Because honest to God, you guys, peanut butter crackers might be in a lot of people's top three on that's vending machine items.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What
kind of vending machines are you guys going to?
Yeah, they're kind of used to the old waxy bone vending machine. So I would say bronze medal would probably be the Lay's barbecue chips. I was expecting a fanfare there.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
I'm sorry, I'm texting my engineer. Sorry, I got caught. I'm texting my engineer. So we haven't actually sat. It's a miracle we're on right now, and the AC is off. I am sweating through my shirt right now.
Well, also, you were a total nightmare before the show. Like, he was pinballing all over the place with rage on his face.
I was also sliding all over the place because there was condensation on the floor, which isn't great for a high-tech studio.
Get used to it, because this entire building is going to be underwater in about 10 years. So, Roy, did you just make the thing that was last on the vending machine?
No. We're talking about Lay's. The first one that I said was
Tom's. Oh, the bootleg barbecue chips. All right. Yes. So Lay's is number three. Number two, Roy.
Silver medalist is the nacho cheese Doritos.
We all know what the gold medalist is for Roy.
And you know what the gold medalist is.
So what, Stugatz, do you have a favorite item?
I do have a definitive list here of the top 10 most popular things purchased from a vending machine. I mean, I do have that.
Well,
list.
How about yours, though? I'm asking
Snickers
you.
Bar.
Oh, a Snickers bar. Yes. Wow, we had gotten out of
a Snickers bar is like a meal. I mean, it is.
I feel like Roy left off, like, the cream of the crop is the honey bun. That's the number one.
No, because the honey bun's been there since the first Bush administration.
Even the good Let it marinate. Let it marinate.
I think a lot of people might argue on behalf of the honey bun being one of the last things remaining in there.
Yes, that's it.
I went to, in my high school, that was the first thing gone all the time.
That's in high school, though. Now, if you arrive at a vending machine and that's all that's left, that's a sad vending machine.
All right, let's put all
Pop-Tarts.
Agree to disagree.
Let's put these questions on the poll. Is the last item left in a barren vending machine, being a honey bun, sad? And also, is the peanut butter orange cracker in your top three of vending machine items?
Keep in mind, right next to that honey bun is the cinnamon roll.
Can we do the top 10 here that Stugatz is stealing from the internet? Do we want to source this here? Let's do a top 10. These are the top 10 vending machine items of all time history?
Yes, according to vendingmachines.com, yes.
All right, very good. A very popular website, vendingmachines.com. Number 10, Stugatz.
Pretzels.
No.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Chex Mix.
Number 8.
Cheez-Its.
That's sad. Years is from?
That's sad. Yeah. What year is this from?
This is 2011.
Seven
granola bars.
Jesus. This is the saddest vending machine I've ever had.
I love
had
it.
Right
I
here.
Love a good granola
Number
bar.
Number six.
Planters trail mix. This is delightful.
Like, this is before vending machines actually got creative with what they were making. This is like a vending machine from the 1950s. Number five.
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Are you laughing about how bad this list is? What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because I found the same list.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find the date on it. So Stugot's rolling off and saying it's from 2011 is such a believable lie. But the date is on there buried, and it's August 7th, 2020.
You typed in vendingmachines.com?
Yeah, it took
Billy, this is, and it's good for the audience to know this, everything Stugot says is a lie.
Hey, like, just keep it moving, man.
There are no facts. It's everything that dribbles from his mouth is untrue.
But it was so convincing, too, the way that he's like, oh, this is from 2011.
Yeah, let me look it up. He paused like he was looking it up. Yeah, no.
You like that. You got to sell it. Yeah, I mean,
you got to sell the lie.
It was 2011. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Number four.
Sun chips.
Oh, the sun chips. We forgot about the sun chips.
That's a good answer.
How did we forget of the sun chips? How did we do that? Number three.
Pop-Tarts.
Very high. I would say
that's one of the sad ones. That's one of the last ones that's
yes,
always there.
I'm with you. Pop tarts in a barren vending machine. I am with you. Tony shaking his head vigorously. No, what?
No, Pop tarts are always the first one to go. Breakfast time. Somebody sees it. Let me grab those. The problem is strawberry ones. There's never a variety in the vending machine.
Yeah.
You know, the issue with the vending machines is that it really depends on the location, right? So, like, if you're, like, in a high school, like a Pop-Tart, a Honey Bun, like, those things will go fast, right? Where if you're in an office setting, you'll get other things. Like, if you could get, like, a cup of noodles or something like that in lunchtime, then you're like, whoa, I really want that.
Wait a
minute. The worst thing in an office vending machine, I think, is popcorn, right? Not because it's a bad snack, but because then everybody comes and wants a piece of your snack, and then they're all sticking their dirty hands in your popcorn. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. I'd leave popcorn out of the work vending machines unless you're going to secretly eat it, maybe in the bathroom. No, don't do that, actually.
I am telling you that the person who is depressive, okay, the person who's got like some real issues with darkness in their life, and that person is hungry, and that person shows up hungry at a vending machine that is barren, and all that's left is a cup of noodles, that person is not leaving that room without committing Harry Caray suicide. Like, that person is going to be done with life at that point. That's the saddest thing that could possibly be in a vending machine. Cup of noodles.
Did Harry Caray commit suicide? What happened?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. It also depends on what part of the country that you're in, because you're not going to find plantain chips in Boston, I'm sure.
Yes.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Pop-Tarts, top of the vending machine food chain or bottom of the vending machine food chain?
Well, what happened to Harry Caray?
Number two, Stugot.
Really unfortunate.
Clif Bars.
And finally, a little bit of a change up there. The Stugot's chair fart noise. Number one, Stugot's, the number one vending machine item according to a list from 2011 and also 2020.
Vendingmachines.com. Snickers bars.
Did you steal Snickers bars?
I did.
Stole,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how you.
It's early.
You made Snickers bars your choice. Yeah. And my God, it is too early in the morning for your stealing and lies.
I mean, but you watched the Dolphin game earlier this morning.
My morning has been a nightmare. That's why I was thinking about things like suicide and Harry Caray.
I just Googled it. There's an actual word that's Harry Caray. I thought you were talking about the Cubs.
Wait a minute,
broadcast.
You guys, I thought you guys were joking. I thought you guys were doing a bit.
No.
There's an Asian word, Harry.
Wait
Harry
a minute.
Kari.
We thought you were doing a bit.
I thought you were talking about the broadcaster.
Wait a minute. All of you thought that I...
Well, I don't think it's pronounced Harry Caray.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Harakiri.
No, it is pronounced...
Oh, it's a fine.
Harakiri. This looks like Harakiri.
I thought you guys were absolutely a bit.
No, I thought you were like mistaken on how Harry Caray died.
Give the definition. What?
Hi. That's who I thought you were talking about.
Give the definition of Harry Carey. I believe I pronounced that correctly as well, or I've
spelled
it in
H-A-R-A-K-I-R-I. That looks like Asian origin.
Mike, go to dictionary.com or the pronunciation. Harakiri. Let's see. Let's do this. Let's have the payoff to the segment be whatever it is that pronunciation.com says is the correct way to pronounce in English, Harry Carey. I'd also like the definition for the audience. I can't believe I thought...
Harakiri. See? Harakiri. Harakiri.
It's Harakiri.
Kind of broadcaster.
Yeah.
Harakiri. Harakiri. Harakiri.
But you said Harry Carey.
Yeah.
I mean, you think I'm wrong?
I mean, you can understand our confusion.
I think
it's not Harry Carey. I mean,
Harakiri.
I'm telling you that the audience right now is siding with me on this. The audience that knows what Harry Carey is, that they knew.
Harakiri.
The audience that doesn't know
Harakiri.
What sides with you guys.
She's not saying Harry Carey though.
Harakiri. Harakiri.
But if I said to you, what is a broadcaster that this sounds most like? I mean, come on. Like, I can see where Dan,
fair,
got a little confused.
Fair.
I was talking, to be most fair, I was talking about depression and suicide, and I used a synonym for it. You guys thought I was talking about the Cubs broadcaster. We weren't like,
it's not nice to do to Harry.
I can slow her down. Hang on.
Harakiri.
A classic Yanni thing, I think.
Roy, do you have a deciding vote on this as everyone gangs up on me because they didn't know what Harry Carey was?
It's Harry Carey? You pronounce it like that?
Yeah, it's Harry Carey.
Roy, you knew what he was talking about?
I absolutely knew what he was talking about. Yeah.
This is the strangest Miami, Florida State breakdown.
Roy, were you like me? Did you think that they were doing a bit? I thought that was a brilliant line by Stugatz to say what was not a bit at all. It was just him being ignorant. Like, I thought he was being brilliant. This is what happens around here. I thought it was him being brilliant as his character, but no, it's just him being ignorant as him and it turning into magical gold.
I think this is like, what color is the dress, man?
Harakiri.
I thought it was a bit.
Really? You did too, Roy?
She's not saying Harry Carey.
Again.
You really need to read up more, Stugatz, on Asian suicide techniques.
Yeah. Shame on us.
What is the suicide technique, incidentally? Can you guys give me the definition?
Harry Carey?
Of the Harry Carey, yes. Can you give me the definition?
It's watching a bad baseball team for like 30 years.
Okay, to put a bow on FSU Canes talk, the analogy I was trying to make last segment before we got sidetracked was right now the college landscape is a barren vending machine and the Canes are the best option in there right now. But some bad news for Canes fans is that vending machine is getting restocked this weekend with some LSU, with some Alabama. So I just feel like...
with some SEC.
We look good right now, but it could be a little rough. Not as looking great in a couple weeks.
I can't remember the last time UM was an 11-point favorite against FSU going into a game. An 11-point favorite? I know FSU is a laughingstock. I know they lost to Georgia Tech at home. I know we spent a lot of time laughing at all the people who painted themselves in garnet and gold and then lost to... A Georgia Tech team that FSU was favored to beat by more than a touchdown.
I know it seems crazy, but I don't know enough, so I'm going to ask Mike, who has watched these games and watched these teams, but I've been listening to a lot of local sports radio over the last few days. I have, because my Sirius XM subscription is up, and I need to renew it. That's not the only reason, and I enjoy listening to those guys occasionally.
That's the strongest endorsement of
the Sorry about
radio.
That. But
what
I keep
it, like what I feel like there's had to be a couple lies in there somewhere. Like, what do you think?
There
the
always are.
There?
Chris, again, if you weren't
I'm telling you,
weren't here with us earlier in the show,
don't know.
Everything that dribbles out of his mouth is uselessly not factual.
But what I have heard is people like Leroy Horde and others, the big dog Joe Rose, telling me that the Florida State Seminoles are this is the worst Florida State team that they've seen in their lifetime. Is that they're that bad?
I mean, they looked really bad against Georgia Tech. They've got a quarterback problem. They're still doing the Blackman thing occasionally at quarterback. And when I say that, I mean his name is Blackman.
I mean, that is such a knee-jerk reaction. They're only 0-1, and they lost to a Power 5 team at home. They've had plenty of bad losses along the years. And then they go to overtime against the Citadel recently or something like that. So I'm not going to knee-jerk off of one. They're not good, as evidenced by the line this weekend. They've had a tumultuous offseason where their brand new head coach lost the locker room before he even stepped foot in the locker room. The coach has COVID-19 and won't be there on the sidelines. And Miami, yeah, you're absolutely right. The college football landscape's going to be a little bit more congested, but the ACC is looking like a bit of visionaries right now with all these schools playing 7-game seasons without really room to reschedule games. ACC looks pretty smart in getting an earlier start. Because Notre Dame gets canceled, that game gets pushed to December 12th. All these other conferences won't have open dates in the college football playoff. I know we're looking way ahead here in terms of Miami, but that is going to be an absolute mess this year.
I think that anyone who listens to this should be encouraged by what it is that I was saying that revealed itself against Louisville. Louisville is terrible at defense. Louisville will allow a great many plays of 50 and 60 yards where you're looking and you're like, how did that happen with no one near the dude? Like, it's just apocalyptically bad defense, but they have a quarterback and they have a kicker. Like, those things are so, and I know it's kind of pathetic to say something like they have a kicker, but they seem to have one of the best kickers in college football. And there were too many times with that team in recent years where you didn't trust them to make an extra point.
You wouldn't trust them to get 25 yards of field position on a punt from Fiegel. So, yeah, the kicker is a graduate transfer from FIU. You might remember him last year when he broke Miami over his knee, kicking all sorts of long field goals in that game. They also have an offensive coordinator. You mentioned the two broke-down coverages that led to lightning-quick touchdowns from Miami. I heard Rhett Lashley talk. He was like, in preparation for that game, I had those two plays dialed up when they showed that look. They wanted to make De'Aaron King make quick decisions and go through his progressions, and he did that. He's already shown you in two games against UAB, admittedly, and Louisville, who was really good at home and is the fastest team Miami's probably going to play all season long, that he can beat you in more than one way, and he's actually quite a good quarterback. That's
fastest
carried over.
Offense, I would say they might.
Yeah,
play
they have a bunch of certainly the fastest offense, no doubt. Atwell, Cunningham, these are very fast players, very fast players.
Clemson is pretty fast, obviously.
Well, they have Etienne, but people that know this is, I mean, throughout the skill positions, that's going to test the defense, and we'll see. I have no idea what kind of defense Louisville has historically bad. We'll see what happens this week. I think they have Pitt coming up. But I'm encouraged by Miami. I have respect for Louisville, especially at home, UAB as well. So,
whoa, you have respect for the UAB defense. You have respect for Louisville, especially at home, but you have no respect for Manny Diaz. He's got to earn your respect.
He does. He does. Huh. I've been burned. I've been so embarrassed by this team. Really embarrassed by this coach, too. Last year was the worst UM year I can recall, and they had years where they weren't bowl eligible. I would have rather to suffer that embarrassment in the bowl game was so humiliating.
This can't be an earn your respect game, though. It cannot be.
No, right? No, ooh, no, no.
What game will that be? Do you know? Do you have it pegged yet?
If they win this game, and all these games, even when FSU had some really good teams playing against some subpar Miami teams, those games were tight. So we'll see what happens with this. They have an off week to prepare, which is never good for Manny Diaz, for Clemson. And I imagine Clemson will blow the doors off of Miami and we'll have to sort of gather ourselves and set new expectations.
But that's the ultimate earn your respect game. What if it's close? What if they don't beat Clemson, but it's a very competitive game? Will Manny have earned your respect?
I think every Canes fan has the I know what you're looking for. Yes, if they if they have a close game at Death Valley,
yes,
I'm going to be excited.
I prefer to have the conversation like, what percentage of respect do they get from you for winning games? Like, I want to know, where is your respect level? Before Louisville, you had no respect for Manny Diaz. None. Zero. It was at 0%.
Yeah.
So he beats Louisville and it climbs up to what on the respect spectrum? 8%? 4%?
That's the best win of the college football season. I dare you to find a better one. This is such a trick that I'm playing on you
Louisiana
guys,
and Iowa State.
Raging Cajuns?
Yeah, it was a pretty good win.
Percentage of respect. I don't want to talk about college football. I want to talk
just
about
Mike. It starts. There's a pie chart, and it starts with nothing. Chart. Okay. Yes, the old pie chart. Yes.
Even though it was on the road, and even though it was against the fastest team, I believe they'll play all year. It was a team that Miami destroyed last year with a worse quarterback. So really, maybe 3% more respect.
So if they beat FSU,
they destroyed FSU
in an impressive fashion. Nothing. You're still at 3%.
Last year's FSU game.
Small piece of pie right there.
Last year's FSU game was their best performance of the season. So 2%. 2%.
2% more?
2% more.
So it goes to 5%.
So 5%.
Keep in mind, right. I had zero respect for Manny Diaz entering this season. Right. Zero. And then in recruiting, he earned 4.5%.
Oh, wow. So we're closing in on 10% total, right?
Have you seen the new turnover chain? It is sending a message throughout the state. It is the state of Miami. It's the state of Florida, the U over it, and the Tri-County area is highlighted in orange and green. We are keeping our athletes down here. Knighton, that freshie running down the sideline with that NFL speed.
That was NFL.
That's a dude that ends up at LSU.
He ran away from secondary with angle.
Yeah, that was see goodbye as soon as the pass left the hand.
But is 10% fair? So I'm wondering what happens if they beat Clemson.
If they beat Clemson.
100%, right?
If they beat
Clemson. Now, what if it's a close game against Clemson? Will it be a full 90% fill in the pie or no?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. If they beat Clemson, that's a fill in the pie.
Okay.
Scenario close. Now we're talking about scores of respect.
Just stop with the beating of Clemson. All of us.
Why? It could happen.
Billy. No, it can't happen. Billy, help me out.
I mean, listen, Notre Dame. You may want to stay away from those predictions.
They can't beat Clemson. We're going to do this again.
I mean, we'll see.
Like I've told you a couple of times already, they go into these Clemson games and you think they're going to win and they lose by 7 touchdowns.
Well, they've only gone into one Clemson game after the Al Golden experience. And yeah, their kicking game was a disaster. They were injured in that ACC championship game. And just so happens that they were playing the best team in the nation, which absolutely smashed Miami. If they keep it close, you want something to build on for an eventual rematch in the ACC championship game. And I want to be able to get excited for said rematch. That's all I want to see when they go to Death Valley. But we can't look ahead past FSU guys' rivalry game.
Right.
The question I was going to ask you, Billy, is how you feel about an FIU kicker named Jose ending up as the University of Miami's kicker, because this has got a lot of different things in it. First of all, I love that the University of Miami has a player called Jose. I don't think – have they ever had a player called – Jose before? I can't remember off the top
of my head. They've existed a long time.
I know, but it's just
search right
there, it's a different part of Miami, right? When Mike talks about the state of Florida or keeping people gated in here in the region on recruiting, this is a different side of Florida, the Jose's, and he comes from FIU. Did you think it was traitorous that he decided, well, wait a minute, if I could beat UM, I might as well go ahead. It was like a Kevin Durant move, except for a guy named Jose.
Yeah. And he's not that good. I don't know why you're saying he's the best kicker in college football. He's 72% of field goals last year. That's not good.
Oh, we just
73% the year before. 83%.
They trusted him out there to.
That doesn't mean he's the best in college football.
Kick, I didn't say he was the best
year over year. Year over year, he's been the most impressive kicker so far. And 72%. While yes, he's missed some kicks. 72% is a tremendous upgrade over the likes of Bubba Baxa. And this is a reverse Kevin Durant. This is like. I mean, this is if Kevin Durant beat the Golden State Warriors with OKC and he was like, I think I'm going to go to Memphis.
Correct me again, Billy, if you think I am wrong, but I thought that we've gotten spoiled by NFL kickers. College football kickers are not 90% kickers because they're college football kickers. Like, it's very rare. Who was the name? Was it the guy who failed in the pros that was at FSU? Was it Aguayo?
Scott Bentley?
No, it was, what was the name of
Aguayo?
That?
Aguayo. Yeah, went to the Bucks, I think.
Yes, he failed with the Bucks. Way to flex your Bucks muscle.
It's weird.
Your Aguayo muscle.
I gave you two Florida State kickers as well.
That was a guy that was a 90% kicker, but that always stands out. Like, if your guy in college football, and I may be wrong about this because I don't know the math on it, but I thought that if your guy in college football made 80% of his kicks, that was one of the best kickers in college football. Am I wrong?
So last year in college football, the best kicker was, I don't even know what AFA is, was 100%. Guy from Oklahoma was 100%.
Air Force
the guy
Academy.
From Wake was 96%. The guy from TCU was 95.8%. The guy from WSU was 95.2%. The guy from Memphis was 92%.
Okay,
lots
I'm wrong
of
90s. Then. Yeah, I'm wrong then.
Well, and the hash marks are further apart in college football, which adds to the difficulty. That adds yardage potentially.
I don't want to poo-poo on the guy. I mean, he won a huge, the biggest game in FIU history, but just get ready because the misses are coming with him.
Oh, no doubt. But No doubt. I have more trust in him than Bubba Baxa, but that's not saying much. But if Bubba Baxa makes 72% of his kicks, that's a different in results. That's a big difference in Miami results. They lost a lot of one-possession games. You know, when they got super lucky and made it to an Orange Bowl in 2017, they were winning these one-score games. Since then, Miami's been paying for their sins and been losing those results that they won in that season.
I may have the wrong memory here, but I feel like the University of Miami hasn't confidently trotted out a kicker to try a 57-yard field goal the way they did in the Louisville
since
game.
Since Sievers.
Since Jimmy Johnson.
No, Todd Sievers made a massive kick in that Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. That's one of the most pressure-filled kicks I've ever seen. It gets forgotten because of the flag, but Sievers was unbelievable.
I'd look it up, but I'm still looking up all-time Jose's at the University of Miami.
I mean, we've had a Joaquin, we've had a Manny.
I'm on that, too. I'm on that beat.
I mean, Jose, like, it's like seeing a Miami player be named Pepe. Like, it's confusing to me. Yeah. A UM player, here comes, look, our hopes rest on Pepe.
Yeah, you're also, I it's a college kicker, man. You saying that we can trust him because he nailed a 57-yarder against Louisville just always makes me nervous because I'm superstitious and jinx guy. He's going to miss kicks, obviously, but he's better than Bubba Baxa, which is really all this team needs.
For the uninitiated, to close out this local hour, as Miami feels like winners today, this city feels like we're winning. I just want to go back to Harry Caray and the formal definition of what Harry Caray is. It is a ritual suicide by disembowelment practiced by the Japanese samurai or formerly decreed by a court in lieu of the death penalty. I now want you to see the image I was trying to conjure earlier, the waxy vending machine room, an impossibly sad place. Sheila's in there. Her neck hurts. And it's just sad and terrible and small. And you go to the vending machine and it's barren and you're really hungry. And what's there is a cup of noodles. And now you kill yourself by ornamental ceremony Asian death by disembowelment. That is what I was trying to conjure for you guys. And instead, I conjured the old Cubs broadcaster.